calls meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is March 12th at 5:06 p.m. We have with us today Representative Josephson, Representative Hammond, Representative Galvin, Representative Staff, Representative Flom, Representative Ortiz, Representative Kronk, Representative Foster, myself, Representative Johnson, and we are assisted today by Emily Mesh as our LIO moderator and our committee secretary, Leah Frazier. We have this is our second meeting of today. I had thought we had one meeting and we were taking it at ease, but we adjourned, and this is we're opening a new and second meeting for public testimony. So welcome back. We are continuing with public testimony on the operating and mental health budgets. First up, we have Juno testimony until 6 p.m. And afterwards, we have Sitka, Petersburg, Delta Junction, Dillingham, Glen Allen, Token Offnet callers from 6 to 7 p.m. Testimony, and we have just been joined by Representative Edgman. Testimony is limited to 2 minutes per person. Please call 30 minutes prior to the scheduled end time of 7 p.m. to ensure that you get in the queue. We will not be taking any new signups after 6:30 p.m. Written testimony may be submitted to house.finance@akleg.gov. The statewide call-in number is 844-586-9085. Those calling from Anchorage can call 907-563-9085 and from Juneau 907-586-9085. So we have 3 people that are signed up at this time for at this point. We have 3 members. First person, we have any questions, comments before we get started? No? Everybody's ready to go? We're all ready to go here. Joan O'Keefe with the Southeast Alaska Independent Living Sale. Thanks. Welcome to House Finance. Ms. O'Keefe is here in the room. Welcome to House Finance, and go ahead and put your name and affiliation on the record and start your public testimony.
Sure. Thank you, Chairman Johnson and members of the committee. My name is Joan O'Keefe, and I live in Douglas. I'm the Executive Director of Southeast Alaska Independent Living or SAIL. We are a nonprofit whose mission is to inspire personal independence. We serve seniors and people of all ages experiencing any sort of disability. People who reside in 20-plus communities scattered throughout the Southeast region, including hundreds of mental health trust beneficiaries. I'm here today to encourage you to take a hard look at the full slate of recommendations put forward by the trustees of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. Many of those items are not funded in the governor's proposed budget or are only partially funded. To highlight just 2 of those items, home modifications and upgrades to retain housing is in Department of Health, Division of Finance and Management. Funding for this program in the amended budget is $575,000 less than recommended by the trust. This program provides housing modifications such as widening doorways, remodeling bathrooms or kitchens, and installing ramps. If these funds are cut, dozens of people experiencing disability will not be able to remain in their homes, not be able to age in place, and instead face assisted living care or institutional placement at a much higher cost. The second item is the trust recommended $133,500 of general funds, mental health funds, for the long-term care ombudsman. It's in the Department of Revenue budget. This is not included at all in the governor's budget. The Alaska Long-Term Care Ombudsman's Office investigates complaints related to long-term care facilities, makes unannounced visits to skilled nursing facilities and assisted living homes, educates seniors about their rights, and advocates on behalf of seniors. These funds would support an additional assistant ombudsman, and I urge you to fund this position. And quickly, one last item, transit match funding. Prior to FY18, the state put in general fund capital dollars to help transit providers with their local match requirements for various federal transit programs, including my agency. This state investment helps leverage more than 3 times as much in federal funds, and I urge you to support the addition of this $1 million in transit match funding. and thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you, and I did want to make one note for the record. If you look at the mental health trust budget and the most current CS that we adopted as our working draft today, most of the items that you had requested are in those budgets, so I'd want to make sure you take a look at that and let you know that my staff is in the room, and you, if you have an opportunity, you might want to either stop by my office or talk to our finance staff and find out exactly what is going on, so because I think you would probably be pleased with what you see there.
Thank you very much, Chairman.
You're welcome. Next up, we have Lori Morton from Deputy Director of Alaskan Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. Thank you for coming to testify. Go ahead and state your name and affiliation for the record, and go ahead and start your two-minute public testimony.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Lori Morton. I'm the Deputy Director of the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, officed here in Juneau. It's good to see some familiar faces around the table. Believing this administration sees the importance of public safety, it's difficult to realize and have to highlight the proposed decrements to services for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault in the CDVSA grants line, and reductions to the Violent Crimes Compensation Board meant to compensate all victims of violent crime. You'll hear from communities over the next few days reminding you of the critical nature of these services and what it will mean if funding isn't made available. Shelters and rape crisis centers are the justice system's emergency rooms. Like healthcare emergency departments, they're open 24/7, 365 days a year. They're ready at a moment's notice to catch people as they're falling. However, they cannot continue to do more with less. These programs save lives, and we as Alaskans deserve to have fully functioning emergency rooms. We need your collective will to keep our doors open. I'd also like to ask you to give a careful review to the amount of funding available to victims of violent crime. The difficulty in reducing state dollars this year is that it means directly reducing federal dollars next year. Federal funds are allocated to states based on 75% of the amount the state paid out in eligible claims during the preceding fiscal year. I believe I have a couple seconds left. I want to recognize the day today. Today is Ashley Johnson Barr Day. 10-year-old Ashley was kidnapped, raped, and murdered in 2018. In 2020, the legislature established March 12th as her day. Ashley's day gives us pause to understand the importance of funding domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking programs, both intervention and prevention. We don't want to have another special day. Thank you for your time and your commitment to these issues, and we appreciate your service.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming in to testify. I also wanted to make note that we've been joined by Representative Story in the room, as well as Representative Thomas. We've also been joined by Representative Tomaszewski. And next, and at this time last on our list, we have Emily Ferry, who is here in the room. Welcome to House Finance. Ms. Ferry, go ahead and state your name for the record and begin your two-minute public testimony. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Emily Ferry. I'm testifying tonight as a parent. I wanted to thank you all for your brave and bold move of increasing the BSA, supporting the 680 increase, both in SB 140 and in the bill before you tonight. I know you know that that is desperately needed in our schools across the state. I know you know that it is critical to retaining families, working families here in Alaska, to invest in our education system. And I know you know some of our outcomes. We've had a decade-long experiment of cutting school budgets. And our post-secondary outcomes, this is a graph from the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education shows a direct correlation with our decline in funding, right? So 2012, we had 52% of our high school graduates enrolling in a 2 or 4 year degree program. 2022, we had 34%. There's a correlation there in our investment, and we need to turn that around. 680 is a great start. We also know that that's not the end. Just like every other agency budget, every other department funded by the state, our education system needs attention every single year. So, you know, this is a great move, and don't be surprised when parents are back here again next year saying, and now we need to do it again and again. To that end, I believe in contribution. I talk to my kids a lot about contributing to our family. I am game for contributing to our state. I think an income tax is a reasonable and responsible move. And I think that we are going to need to move in a direction where we're contributing as Alaskans. Lastly, I wanted to note that you're not going to see many people in the room tonight. And here's why. Because right now, my community is getting ready to tear itself apart to fight over the crumbs that are left in our education budget. So, you know, if you go down to the high school tonight, you're going to see lifelong friendships ending. It's not going to be pretty. So I know this is going on in every community in the state. And I really appreciate the support that you've given this year. Thank you.
Thank you for coming in to testify. We do have 4 members on our that are calling in from OffNet. First up, we have Marianne Mills, president for the Alaska Geriatric Exchange Network. Marianne, Ms. Mills, if you would go ahead and state your name for the record and begin our 2-minute public testimony.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Marianne Mills, and I am the president of AgeNet, Alaska's Association of Senior Service Providers. AgeNet stands for Alaska Geriatric Exchange Network, primarily made up of private nonprofit organizations founded in Alaska. AgeNet's goal is to help older Alaskans age in place, supporting them to live safely in their own homes and communities for as long as possible, and avoid costly institutional care such as hospitals and nursing homes. AgeNet strives to involve senior service providers in every area of the state so that statewide older Alaskans receive the local community-based services they need. Today, on behalf of AgeNet, I urge you to maintain the current fiscal year 24 funding level for senior community grants in the FY25 budget. Offered through the Alaska Division of Senior and Disability Services, community-based services made possible by these grants include nutritious meals with daily safety checks, transportation, exercise classes, and light housekeeping. There are also services to help older Alaskans with disabilities, such as adult day services, assistance with activities of daily living, such as bathing or dressing, and counseling or respite services for their unpaid family caregivers to help them continue to care for their loved ones at home. Maintaining the current level of funding requires adding $2.7 million in general funds, without which services to older Alaskans throughout the state will decline significantly, affecting their ability to live independently. With Alaska having the fastest growing senior population in the United States, helping them age in their own homes makes economic sense. Last year, nearly 20,000 older Alaskans benefited from senior community grants at a cost of only $691 per year per client. In contrast, only 1,152 patients were served in Alaska nursing homes at a cost of $148,101 per year per person. Also, since the population of Alaska seniors aged 75 and older increased 5% last year, with more vulnerable seniors to serve, AgeNet members urge you to support an additional $998,231 for a 5% increase in SDS community-based grants for fiscal year 2023.
Thank you for your testimony. You have one more. You have some sentence of wrap up, but your time is up.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Appreciate you calling in. Yes.
How long is that?
Two more people.
Can I ask if Ms. Mills is...
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Ms. Mills, are you still with us?
Hello?
Yes, Ms. Mills, are you still with us?
I am.
Can you just repeat the last set of statistics, not the 998, the 5%, but the 691 a year for your clients vis-a-vis the institutions?
Oh, thank you very much. So, for one client per year, for seniors per year, it's $691 per year. And that's for senior community services, community grant services. For somebody in a nursing home, it's $148,000 a year compared to less than $700 per year.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. We're moving on to the next person. Aaron Walker-Tallis, Executive Director for the Catholic Community Services. And you know, Ms. Walker-Tallis.
Good evening.
Yes, go ahead and state your name for the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Thank you. my name is Erin Walker-Tallis. I've lived in Juneau 30 years, and I am Executive Director of Catholic Community Service. CCS is a regional faith-based nonprofit that provides home and community-based services to seniors and caregivers across Southeast Alaska, including meals, rides, and caregiver and senior support, much of it offered through our 10 senior centers. I'm testifying on the operating budget today out of concern for seniors and their caregivers statewide. Senior services nonprofits are anticipating a reduction of $2.7 million in state grants, while community need continues to increase. CCS has been providing services to seniors for 50 years, and we've never seen such a dramatic increase in community need before. The number of meals served to seniors has increased 64% in the past 5 years, from 80,000 a year to 171,000 in fiscal year 23. And the number of seniors homebound by health concerns, including Alzheimer's and related dementias, has increased from 50% to 85% during that time for those we serve. We were able to meet the needs of seniors during COVID by relying on relief funds. We had thought with the end of the public health emergency that demand for services might go down, but last year there was a 20% increase in seniors accessing our nutrition program. Last June, with the relief funds drying up, we had to make cuts. We reduced the number of days our senior centers are open across the region. We laid off staff, all of that in order to maintain the amount of food we make available to seniors in need, because poor nutrition is the number one reason for falls and injury to senior citizens. But now we're facing another cut in funding for fiscal year 25. And unless the current level of senior grant funding is maintained, Catholic Community Service will not be able to meet community needs that exist today in Southeast Alaska. It's likely we'll have to reduce days we provide hot meals down to 3 days a week, reduce the number of meals we provide to seniors by more than 20%, and we may even have to close one or more of our senior centers entirely. These services are vital to allowing seniors to live independently and safely, so I urge you to please maintain the current fiscal year 24 senior grants funding level in fiscal year 25 to maintain these critical senior services, and honestly, it will help avert an expensive potential crisis in senior health outcomes that can easily be avoided. Thank you so much for your consideration.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in and providing testimony. Next up, we have Jennifer Carson, Executive Director of Behavioral Health Services, Bartlett Regional Hospital. Ms. Carson, if you would, go ahead and state your name for the record.
Yes.
And begin your testimony.
Good evening. I'm Jennifer Carson. I'm the Executive Director of Behavioral Health Services here at Bartlett Regional Hospital in Juneau. So I am calling in reference to the Division of Behavioral Health Startup Crisis Now grant to fund the mobile crisis and crisis stabilization. The Crisis Now system is a best practice framework for developing and implementing crisis stabilization services for individuals experiencing a behavioral health crisis. These services are critical to avoiding the unnecessary use of critical law enforcement and emergency room resources to respond to a person in a behavioral health crisis. The state funds will leverage Alaska Mental Health Trust investments and support implementation of crisis stabilization and mobile crisis teams. so behavioral health professionals, peer support, and some similar professional makeup in communities working to improve their crisis response services. As the first crisis stabilization center to open in the state and the only one currently providing services to youth, it is imperative that the $1 million removed from the budget be added back in. The current funding provided through the 1115 waiver is not adequate to provide ongoing operations. If additional funding is not provided, this type of service is not going to be sustainable, and higher, more costly level of care will be relied upon, including inpatient services. In our short time open, we have been experiencing positive outcomes from those who have been admitted into our stabilization services. To ensure that we have support to continue to implement these much-needed services, especially for our youth, we ask you to consider adding the $1 million back into the budget. Thank you so much for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Kaysen. We appreciate your providing public testimony tonight. We have one more person online on the off-net, Tom Booten from Juneau. If you would, go ahead and state your name for the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Yes, thank you. Tom Boutin, Juneau. Please don't dip into savings to fund the operating and capital budgets in anticipated emergencies like wildfire suppression. Alaska has full employment and high oil prices, and our annual oil production will very likely be no higher at any time in the future. So spending down one-time savings now would make no sense. We saw oil production drop 80% from its peak while our population doubled. We still produce nothing today that compensates for that lost oil product. Through all of 2023, we had the media complaining that the administration could not keep up with new SNAP enrollment, when we also had reports of two vacant jobs for every Alaskan that wanted a job. One adult in five is on food stamps, but jobs are going begging, and Alaskans who want to work in the private sector are leaving for higher wages, pretty much the antithesis of the Alaska I moved to 51 years ago. Clearly, we have unprecedented structural problems in our economy that do not suggest to me that deficit spending is a remedy. Incidentally, I do not believe these economic problems would be addressed by more spending on education or better childcare. I don't see how better benefits or public employees can head off economic dislocation. Alaskans need to find something we can produce that the world wants to buy. In Juneau and in much of Alaska media, the state economy is like a Mexican piñata during the state budget process. To one degree or another, the 61 elected people who work in the Capitol building don't allow anyone to take a swing at that pinata without wearing a blindfold, so they won't consider the economy. I know that the BSA appears in another bill, and I know that as a political strategy, the PFD amount determination awaits all other spending decisions. My fear is that we will have overspent when all spending decisions have been made. We have uncounted enterprise funds that lose money, a railroad, a campground business. We're a low-income housing landlord. We have a gas line development company in which no one would invest a dime of their personal pensions, yet we budget millions for it. We have a rocket launching business, a marine freight and passenger business. To some degree, the state and municipal government sector has become so disproportionately large that it displaces the manufacturing sector we should have found.
Thanks.
If we could shut down at least one money-losing governmental enterprise every year, we might better prepare for a time when Arctic oil production is no longer allowed and would save money in the bargain. Thank you for your time and for this hearing.
Thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate your public testimony. All right. We are at the end of our list of current testifiers. So, let's go ahead and we'll take brief of these. else back on the record. So we do not have anyone signed up right now. We are scheduled to go until 7 o'clock potentially if we have people online. But what I think we'll do is we'll take a 30-minute. We'll come back at 6 o'clock, or yeah, 6 o'clock, and take any additional signups, and then depending, we'll do that on the half hour, 6 and 6:30. And so, with that in mind, yes.
I wanted to just share. The constituent Emily Ferry made reference to it, but literally, the community right now, there's a school board meeting about which school closures are happening. And so, you know, 90% of the engaged families in the community are at that school board meeting because the decision was made a week ago and there's a reconsideration going on. So people are there literally begging, pleading, demanding, and protesting that their school not be the one closed. And that's what she was referencing. So, as opposed to some nights here in Juneau, there'd be 15 hours of people for an hour of testimony. They're all over at Juneau Douglas High School, suffering a shared trauma of not my school, yes, my school, not your school, closure.
Thank you. So what I wanted to make sure, and so I'll say one more, make sure I get this on the record one more time. If you would like to provide email written testimony to house.finance@akleg.gov. housefinance@akleg.gov, or call in for public testimony, Anchorage 907-563-9085, Juneau 907-586-9085, or anywhere statewide at 844-586-9085. And with that, we will take a break until 6 p.m. Back on the record, we have not had any additional persons sign up for public testimony, so I will remind everyone, if they do want to write in and send written testimony to the committee, they can send it to house.finance@akleg.gov, and if you would like to call in for public testimony, the Anchorage number is 907-563-9085, and then the Juneau number is 907-586-9085. And lastly, we have statewide, anyone that wants to call in statewide, the number is 844-586-9085. Looks like we have been joined by one testifier. So we have Pamela Baker Albert. Pamela, if you want to go ahead and put your name on the record and start your 2-minute public testimony.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Welcome to House Finance.
Hello, my name is Pamela Baker Albert. I'm from Northway, Alaska. I've been a caregiver for 17 years and a volunteer medic in my surrounding communities for 34 years. My client is in a wheelchair due to traumatic brain injury. Therefore, I go above and beyond my required hours ensuring his needs are met. That includes laundry service, which is 7 miles away one way, grocery shopping, which is 69 miles one way. My extensive experience as an unpaid medic has taught me the importance of selflessness and dedication in our remote community with limited resources. I take pride in making sure that my client's porch and handicap ramp is shoveled off from snow, guaranteeing safety passage for my client. It would be a huge benefit to us caretakers if we were granted dental, medical prescription, and eyeglass benefits like other agencies. When we have a toothache or need glasses or medication, we have to pay out of pocket because our agencies don't cover any of this. Just recently, my client had a state assessment done and his hours were decreased. I have been challenged many times, either losing hours or losing pay cuts. But I still hold on to my tiny little job to ensure the safety of my clients that I have been dedicated to. And I would like to see the money that the state receives given back to us, the caregivers, that do all the back-breaking legwork and not be given to the agencies. I can't stress this enough. You know, I have paid numerous amounts for my dental work, my eyeglasses, my medications, you know, and what can we do more as caregivers to get some type of benefit? I want to thank you guys for allowing me to speak. And I really appreciate if you guys, you know, would consider thinking about what we're doing out here in the field. Because in Northway, our hall system is water and sewer. We don't have running water out here. And when it gets 25 below, I'm the one that's packing water for my clients, because the water truck does not run in 25 below. Well, I pack in his wood. I do a lot of extra work for him, even after I've done my hours. And I would really appreciate it if you guys would consider dedicated people like myself.
We do appreciate you calling in. I can only imagine all the extra effort that you go through to make this person's life livable, I guess, in a remote community that you have. Representative Kronk wanted to say hello.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hey, Pam, this is Mike. I just want to say thank you for calling in and sharing your testimony with us.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Well, thank you for the good work that you do. We do appreciate your calling in and your public testimony.
Thank you so much.
All right. Very good.
Bye.
Bye. That was the last person that we have signed up at this time. And so I guess we'll go ahead and take another break until we'll come back at 6:30 again, see how many people are signed up. I'll go ahead and put the numbers out there for folks. Again, if anyone would like to call in, Anchorage 907-563-9085, Juneau 907-586-9085, and anywhere else statewide, you can reach us by calling 844-586-9085 or email written testimony to the Finance Committee at house.finance@akleg.gov. So we will take a brief at ease and we will come back for any persons that are signed up for public testimony. Please call in by 6:30. We will be back at 6:30. House Finance at ease. House Finance, back on the record, public testimony. Our final round of public testimony. We have no new members in the room, but we do have two members online that have called in. First off, we have Georgia Jackson, who is a caregiver Georgia Jackson, who is a caregiver from Copper Center, and she is online to give public testimony. Ms. Jackson, if you would, state your name for the record and go ahead and begin your two-minute public testimony.
This is Georgia Jackson, and I am a caregiver through Consumer Direct. We want to request more funding for the... Hold on, I need to look at my notes. We want to request more funding for our... for the at-home services. I live in a really rural area, and so the pay doesn't cover enough for people to actually even want to work. Let's see. There is no Social Security benefits with the pay either, because it's not enough per hour for them to choose to do that. And so it only pays Medicaid and unemployment insurance. When I go to my clients, they are about 40 miles away and there's no mileage coverage. My client doesn't have running water. And so it does say that they can get their laundry done, not at home, but then it doesn't allow enough time to cover that. And if there were more funding, then it should allow more time for that, because she lives about 10 miles away from the laundromat, so I can't just take her laundry there, throw it in, and leave it there. I have to wait the whole time until it's done before I bring it back to her. She doesn't have running water, so we haul water, and I've been taking her water buckets home with me and then bring them back the next day. So that's all uncovered time that I just volunteer to do. But that's not something that's covered, because I guess it's not considered something that's needed.
I'm taking checkers now.
But if there were more funding in these services, then we could have more clients being covered. Right now, there are several elders and disabled people who are not receiving any services because nobody wants to take the jobs. The pay rate is too low. The distance and stuff is too long. My wallet is in the purse hanging on the chair out there. Just take the whole wallet.
All right. Representative Cronk, you do. All right. We heard a number of your concerns. I mean, I think you've been shared with some other people that have called in. Excuse me. Let's see. So we did hear, I think we heard all of your testimony, and we do appreciate you calling in I think it's very hard to describe the difficulty and all the things you do there, and I do appreciate that. So thank you for calling in and testifying. Next up.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Edna Beebe, who is calling in from Eek, Alaska. Ms. Beebe, if you would like to state your name for the record and go ahead and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Hi, this is Edna Beebe.
Welcome.
I'm calling from Eek, which is southwest Alaska, south of Bethel. We don't have any road systems here. Only way in and out is by airlines or by boat or snow machine in the winter time. I've been with Always Caring for about 6 years now. I've been taking care of my mom and before that, my dad, before he passed away. But I wanted to share a few things that I do with her. Is I take care of her meals during the day. Make sure she has clean clothing, you know, bedding. We got our running water here in end of 2018, so it makes things a little easier for me. Before that, it was like having to haul our own water and leaving our homes to bathe over at the laundromat or the steam bath. But we're thankful for our running water. Few of the things that I wanted to touch base with you guys was since I started about 6 years ago, I've been allowed only about 13 hours per week. And to me, I mean, it's been years and her needs today are more than they were about 6 years ago. For instance, her last medical trip into Anchorage, because she has to see a specialist, her eye that they inject had blood, some in the back, and her vision's been a little impaired. It was due to the weather. Her appointments kept rescheduling for about a month, and hopefully it'll correct itself through the medication that they gave her. But yeah, daily life here is spending most of the days with her, with little short breaks whenever it's permitted, however she's feeling that day. So I think higher pay in our system would attract more applicants, or more people willing to apply and work for caregivers.
Thank you. I do really, I really appreciate that you were able to call in.
I wanted to touch base with our living expenses have been going up, and for instance, our monthly water bill is going to be $150 a month, up from $125. And then our fuel prices are over $7 a gallon. And I don't know, just little things. Even groceries today, I was looking at a box of chicken, fried chicken, that my brother bought was almost $18 for a little single box. And when we opened the box, there was only 3 pieces of chicken in there, which is a little expensive. But I wanted you guys to know, if you guys gave us more hours and, you know, higher pay, that would actually go to the caregivers from their allocated budget. That would be nice.
Thank you. You know, I do appreciate you calling in and calling in from Bush, Alaska, where things are definitely, definitely different. So thank you for calling, and thank you for everything that you're doing there.
Yep. Thanks so much for giving me that time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Next up, we have Pascal Hawkins from the ARA Solutions Veterans Association. Welcome to House Finance. Please state your name for the record and go ahead and start your public testimony.
Hi, my name is Pascal. I live in Juneau, Alaska, and I'm a caregiver, and I'm calling to ask that you add more money for the home care in the budget that actually goes to the caregivers, because I am a former nurse, and I was only getting paid $20 an hour and very sporadic hours, and wasn't allowed to go to the bathroom. Bathroom breaks, I wasn't allowed. Snack breaks. I was a former nurse in clinic, and I'm disabled. But so, yeah, I ended up quitting because $20 an hour, it actually was costing me more money to drive there. And then they were trying to limit me on my glove usage, which I told them was a HIPAA violation. I can't cross-contaminate. But and then, but now my son is a caregiver. And Sunday night, last minute, he works a 48-hour shift Monday, Tuesday. And Sunday night, last minute, if he didn't live with us, he wouldn't be getting a paycheck. Because he was told that his patient started new medication that makes him violent, and they didn't want him, you know, they want him to level out before he goes back. But, you know, if, like I said, if he wasn't living with us, that would be no paycheck for him, and he's almost 21 years old. That's not a livable salary. He likes the company that he works for, but he's been there almost a year with no raise, no, you know, anything like that. And then with the company that I was working for, they were limiting my hours so much because the VA system, I guess. He was allotted X amount of dollars, and then his other caregiver was his girlfriend, that was his live-in girlfriend, and he allotted the rest of the money to her. And while I was working there, they hired a homeless person, paid him $20 an hour under the table, which was the same pay as me, while I'm doing catheters and he's a quadriplegic, and I had to do everything for him, literally. I'm not even looking for another one right now. I love being a caregiver. That's in my blood. I've been doing it since I was 12 years old. But I'm not looking because the pay is crap. It's crap. Well, and the benefits are crap. My husband works for the hospital.
I do appreciate you calling in. I think that probably is probably fairly succinctly said, and we appreciate.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, and we've heard your public testimony, and we do appreciate you calling. So thank you. And
thank you.
All right. Very good. and good night. That brings us to the end of our public testimony. I would like to go ahead and we've asked people to sign up before or call in before 6:30, so that brings us to a conclusion of our public testimony. So any further comments, questions, or otherwise before we adjourn? All right, well, thank you guys for being stalwart members, and we've got, it's a big milestone. We've got the CS out, and we've got our first day of public testimony, so our next meeting will be tomorrow, March 13th at 1:30 p.m., and we will continue with public testimony on the operating and mental health budgets for Homer, Kenai, Ketchikan, Kodiak, Seward, and Off-Net callers. Reminding everyone that they can send written testimony to house.finance@akleg.gov. or call in if you're getting ready to call in for tomorrow. Anchorage, you can call in from at 907-563-9085. Juneau call-in number is 907-586-9085. And our statewide call-in number is 844-586-9085. And with no further business before the committee, we are adjourned at 6:49 p.m.